Well, once again, so yeah, this is about nuclear arms and the man, President Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin, and nuclear weapons, one of his favorite topics. Now, remember, when he declared this special military operation on the 24th of February last year, he said that there'll be a lightning fast response against anyone who dares to intervene to defend the Ukrainians, as impliedly saying that some nuclear weapons, they've even got that Kinjal nuclear weapon, supposedly a you know, it means dagger in Russian, super fast, impossible to stop. That's the idea. But he's only explicitly mentioned weapons of mass destruction when things are going badly for him. You know, he's obviously fought many wars with his prime minister when they were fighting in Chechnya in the late 90s, attacked Georgia in 2008. I just think, well, Wagner Group has fought all around the world, unofficially part of the Russian military. And the Ukraine war from 2014, obviously at a much larger scale from 2022. But it wasn't until 2022 that he ever mentioned nuclear weapons. And that's because obviously he a bit stuck in the rut. So what's really going on? So just today, he said that NATO members are effectively participants in this Ukraine war because they've given weapons to allow Ukrainian democracy to defend itself from Putin's illegal war of unprovoked aggression and numerous large-scale atrocities. He then made the baseless allegation that there was a Western plot, a conspiracy to split Russia up into dozens of sovereign states. Remember, Russia's got 85 federal subjects. They are autonomous republics, and some of them are just regions and so on. Some of them are a homeland for an indigenous ethnic minority like the Chechens or the Yakut people, the Dagestanis, whoever. Or a distinctive ethnic group with their own language and were independent states in many cases into the 19th century. So supposedly this is a cultural space for them, but they can have their collective individuality. But gradually that's been eroded. There's been, to some degree, the erasure of their identity in Tatarstan. The Tatar language is no longer an obligatory language. Remember, only about half the people in Tatarstan are ethnically Tatar. And there was a census recently, and often they don't know the people's ethnicity, they just make it up. And obviously, Russia forced them to put Orva Yev on the end of their surnames, or Orva Yeva in the case of a woman. And some of them have the title president, but the leader of this autonomous republic has been downgraded to head and things like that. So the thing is, the ethnic Russians, maybe 70% of the population, they're declining fastest as the ethnic minorities are growing, tend to have more children. And they're often Muslims, the ethnic minorities. So Putin, he railed against the collective West for sending tens of billions of dollars worth of weapons to Ukraine. Well, whose fault is that, Putin? They weren't doing that until you invaded. So he said that they're antagonists in this conflict on Russia One, obviously the main channel. So speaking on Pierdovan, he said they're indirectly taking part in these crimes committed by the Ukrainian government, or the Kiev regime, as he insisted on calling it, without actually saying what these so-called crimes are. Now, I've got to be realistic. If there's an army of a million on one side, an army of a million on the other, of course there can be a few head cases. And people might be so outraged by seeing mounds of civilian corpses, they might commit crimes, do things they wouldn't usually do. So I'm not naive in thinking that they're all angelic, that no Ukrainian can ever do wrong, or the Russian can never be innocent. I mean, life's not like that. You have to, one has to appreciate nuance and not have too much my side bias. So, yeah, he said that the objective of the West is to split up the former Soviet Union. Well, it already split itself up in 1991, in case he didn't realize. And obviously, Russia agreed to all that, signed the Belavezhye Accords, recognized the sovereignty of all the other former Soviet states, and so on. He says, oh, we'll only be allowed into the family of civilization family of civilized nations separately. Well, they already are in it. Obviously, Russia, in a way, is taking itself out of it by breaking all these conventions and committing war crimes at an enormous scale every day. Interesting, they withdrew from that START treaty, the Strategic Arms Treaty, a few months ago. A few weeks ago. Remember, since August, they hadn't allowed the United States to inspect the nuclear sites that they're supposed to. Now, why? Trying to frighten the United States and other countries that, ooh, they could do something against the nuclear weapons that you hadn't anticipated. So rise the threat level. Because the conventional war is going badly, that's why he mentions these things. And in this speech, he didn't talk about any victories because there are no victories to talk about. I suppose there's a limit even to how much he is going to lie. Thinking that that might scare Westerners off. Oh, we need to dial down the rhetoric. No more arms shipments. This could go nuclear. You can't win a nuclear war, as Nikita Khrushchev said. You've got to prevent it starting. Nobody can win it. Only human reason can win, as Khrushchev said. I wish Putin was as rational as that guy. Even the Soviet era pointed that out. I mean, you know, even if you annihilate the population of the other country, it's not worth it if several million of people are killed and your cities are reduced to radioactive ash. But he's thinking that he's going to be able to intimidate Western countries and they'll stop providing nuclear conventional weapons, because he's talking nukes. But that'll also be the end of Russia. So, yeah, he's just on numerous fronts. But, you know, Russia still has a lot of manpower, and the idea is that the Ukrainians will run out of people first. And he thinks that time is on his side. You know, the governments may come to office in Western countries who are less sympathetic to the cause of Ukrainian freedom. And he might be right. I mean, the law of averages says that after a few years in some of these countries, a parliament or a president will be elected who says, you know, let's just leave the Ukrainians in the lurch. The far left and neo-Nazis tend to believe that. Some environmentalists, and this might metastasize to the political center ground, and the political center ground is not really is not necessarily right. So in a way, this is a fight for Putin's survival, because if he withdraws without anything to show for tens of thousands of deaths on his people, for hundreds of millions of dollars that his country has lost in this war, then would he be overthrown? Probably by somebody who's even more hawkish. So there is precedent. Let's say the Korean conflict, when the Soviets supposedly didn't fight directly, actually a few of their pilots did, but I don't think the United States or any Western country knew that at the time. But the Soviets provided weaponry to the North Koreans to fight, and so that's why NATO countries, or the United Nations force didn't directly fight against the Soviet Union, or Vietnam, where the United States and a few of its allies were engaged in the conflict there. And obviously the Soviets and the Chinese were arming the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, but nonetheless the United States and her allies, they did not take aim at the Soviet bloc because of that. Or Afghanistan, where the Mujahideen were armed by the United States, the UK, Pakistan, and so forth. And again, the Soviets did not directly fight against the Americans or US allies. They only fought against America's proxy. So this is a proxy conflict. I mean, that would be true. It'd also be true if there's abetment of a war crime, if you provide weaponry knowing that it's going to be used for a war crime. So in a way, it's a heartening sign that he's reduced to saying this, because I think his offensive has already started, but it's a bit of a damp squib. They're not really driving forward. But, you know, the Ukrainians could break at some point. So where we'll really see action is when there's proper thaw, like about May time, by which time the Ukrainians will have quite a few more tanks and so on, and they might be able to make serious ground. Thank you so much for watching this channel. So make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.